Open them to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 1, and we're going to read, 21 is going to be the center of what we talk about, but I'm going to read 18 through 25. Matthew chapter number 1, I'm going to read 18 through 25, and I'm going to ask you to join in with me on two of the verses, Matthew chapter number 1. Amen. Again, you look at Christmas time, and it comes once a year. The messages are very select in what you're going to preach upon, and there's so many different angles that you can look at when you preach a Christmas message. Many different ways we can view the Christmas story. I've got a book at home entitled The Windows of Christmas, and it talks about Christmas from Herod's eyes, and Christmas from the wise man's eyes, and Christmas from the shepherd's eyes, from the angel's eyes, from Mary's eyes, from Joseph's eyes, from God's eyes, from Jesus' eyes. And so many different ways we can view the Christmas story. And I want to take an opportunity this morning to share one of those views with you. Amen. And we're going to see this view. Christ Jesus was born a perfect example for all. He was born a perfect example for all. Matthew chapter 1, notice verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Notice verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and this is why. For he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." Say the rest of it with me. "And he called his name Jesus." And I want you to repeat verse 21 with me. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." When you look at this verse, that was the reason that Jesus came to this earth. The reason was to save us from our sins. That's why he was born. You say, "Preacher, aren't there other reasons?" Many other reasons, but that's the main reason. And that's why his name was as it was, Jesus. I want to talk about today how Jesus was born a perfect example for all. Father, open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to this time, that we come once a year to reflect upon the greatest gift this world has ever known. And that great gift is salvation through the birth of a child named Jesus. His sole goal in life was to save us from our sins, but he also provided us an excellent, perfect example. Lord, as we look at this topic today, Jesus was born a perfect example for all. Help us to recognize he's an example in everything that he does. And we can copy that example. Thank you for loving us enough to give us this great gift. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, and help us to understand what it is you would have us to know. Help us to understand that which we need to do. And Lord, most of all, open up the hearts and the minds of men, women, boys, and girls this morning to receive Jesus Christ as Savior if they've not done so. Because that's the reason he was born. You said very clearly, "And thou shalt bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Help us, Lord, this morning to recognize that first of all, we've got to be saved, and then we need to be an example of what thus saith the word of God. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless now the remainder of this service. Thank you for the music that we have been able to sing and the encouragement that we've been able to receive. Lord, it would all be worth nothing if we don't come to hear what the Bible has to say. And Lord, help us to understand what you want us to know. And save that man, woman, boy, or girl today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. That doesn't mean go to sleep either. You know, folks say, well, can we go to sleep, preacher? No, you got time to sleep this afternoon. Amen. You can actually get a gospel nap in this afternoon. And what a blessing that'll be. Hopefully everybody can see well up here. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 talks about Jesus being born to save his people from their sins. You know, when you think about that aspect of the gospel message, he shall save his people from their sins. It's amazing that you and I would have the ability to be saved and God would love us enough to save us and send a son to die for our sins. Now, can everybody see that okay? Do we need to turn this light off? Turn that light off. Let's see how dark it's going to be. Will y'all go to sleep? Pinky promise. You fall asleep, ushers bat him on the head for a Christmas gift. No, I'm just joking. Amen. You know, it's clear from Matthew 1:21, Jesus was born as a savior from the cradle, but he was also born as a sacrifice down the cross for our sins. And, you know, as we come to this time of year, I wonder if we could play back on the screen what Christmas is to you or what Christmas means to you. I wonder what would flood up there. Would it be the image of Christ dying for your sins? Would it be about Christmas gifts? Would it be about the, you know, the wise men or something like that? Because the Christmas story means something to you too. And you have a view of this time of the year, whether good or bad, you have a view of this time. But folks, if the truth be known, the view is Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not only was Jesus a sinless Savior, he was a sinless sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Not only was he a perfect example as a Savior and as a sacrifice, he also was a perfect example as a son. Yeah, give me some more light, brother, so I can see what I'm doing up here. Amen. A little bit more. A little bit more. You see the glare off my head yet? You do? What about now? Man's head that shined, that's a good thing. Amen. Means he's alive. Praise God. All right. So not only was Jesus a perfect example as a Savior and sacrifice, but also a perfect example as a son. He was also a perfect example through his sufferings and all stages of his life. And I want us to consider the topic and the theme of this morning, that Jesus was born a perfect example for all. Now I've got to learn how to work this clicker here. There we go. Amen. I'm pushing the wrong button. Amen. Jesus was born a perfect example for all. Say, preacher, if Jesus was born a perfect example, then what is an example? You know, we often tell our children to be a good example or follow good examples. And there are many examples that we can follow. There are athletes that people follow. There are Hollywood stars that people follow. There are good scientists that people follow. There are good mathematicians that people follow. There are great preachers that people follow. But none example is greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can follow an athlete and guess what? You can do some wrong things. You know, you can follow a parent and maybe do some wrong things. You can follow a sister or brother and do some wrong things. I was reading about Michael Jordan, and it was talking about why he picked number 23. Well, he actually picked 45, and his brother had 23. And so he picked a number that was half of what his brother's was, which happened to be 23. And he wanted the 45 number to be like his brother, to follow the example of his brother. But he says, well, since I can't be my brother's number 45, I'll take half of that And he came up with 23. Actually, half of 45 is not 23, but he rounded it. Amen. But an example. What is an example? You'll find that example is a pattern to duplicate or a copy. It's something that you want to emulate. It's a pattern that you can follow. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the perfect example for all. You can follow his life, and he never did anything wrong. He never went anywhere wrong. He never said anything wrong. He never meant anything wrong. He did everything right. And so Jesus is the perfect example for you and I. We can pattern our lives after his for spiritual success. We can follow his footsteps by the Spirit's power to spiritual success for our lives from our birth to our burial. Think about it. Some of these athletes, you don't want to follow them that long. Some athletes you don't want to follow at all. Some Hollywood stars, you don't want any parts of their life. But Jesus, from the time you are in the crib until you go to your death, you can follow Jesus. He is the perfect example. There's not a time in our lives that Jesus is not the perfect example from birth to burial. For instance, Jesus was born the perfect example for the time of childhood. By the way, when you think about childhood, a child learns by watching. And we can look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ from a child, and we can understand that we can follow his life. By the way, children normally follow their parents. Girls normally try to follow their mothers. Faith tries to dress up like mom. She puts mom's shoes on. I think she wears mom's shoes more than she wears her own shoes. She wants to dress up like mom. She wants to do everything like mom does. And so children learn from examples. Boys also learn from examples. My boys like cartoons like I like cartoons. And they follow me in what I do. Children follow the example of their parents. They see us doing chores. And so guess what? They want to do chores as well. They want to cook. My wife this week had all the children cooking their own breakfast. They all cook their own eggs. They cook their own oatmeal. They cook their own stuff. And then I had to taste it. Say, preacher, what was that an example of? I had to be patient. No, they all cook good. Amen. It was a very, very good treat, and I appreciate that. The toughest time when they want to mimic you in doing things is when it's time to clean up the dishes. So now watch how Dad washes these dishes. Well, that's an example we really don't want to follow. But that's a good example, amen. If I cook, I clean. If they cook, they should clean, amen. Jesus was the perfect example for childhood. Early on in Jesus' life, we see his perfect example in his childhood. In Luke chapter 2, in verse number 51 and 52, Jesus was trying to get his ministry started, and his parents didn't really understand what was going on. And let me read you what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2. Because Jesus said, you know what, I need to start my father's business. And they didn't really understand. Luke chapter number 2. The Bible reads this in verse number 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. What saying was that? He said, don't you understand that I need to be about my father's business? I need to do what God has called me to do. But notice verse 51 says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The point I want to bring out is it says, and he was subject unto them. That word, as you see, it means that he was subordinate to them. He placed himself under their obedience. He submitted himself. Every parent would love the example of a child that's submissive in all things. Somebody say amen. Amen. They never answer back. They never say, no, I don't want to do that. They never have to discuss it. They never have to have a reason. They just come underneath you and they're subordinate. They obey. They're under obedience to submit themselves. You say, clean the garbage can. They say, yes. You say, wash the dishes. They say, yes. But in reality, you say, wash the dishes. They say, why? And the why is, do you want to eat on dirty dishes? Do you want to find the woodshed? Amen. Those are some whys. Amen. And so when we look at this, Jesus was subject unto his parents. And every parent would love that example. What am I saying? Jesus is the perfect example for childhood. Our children can follow Jesus. And we can ensure that they're following a good example. But Jesus didn't stay a baby. I know we look at the manger scene, and we portray Jesus being in a manger, and we portray him being all small and wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We say, oh, the baby Jesus. Do you know that Jesus stayed this small about as long as your child stayed that small? We forget that he grew up. We forget that he didn't stay a baby. We forget that the Christ child that was born on Christmas Day had an adolescent life. He had an infant life. He had a toddler life. He had adolescent years. He had teen years. Yes, young people, he had teen years. Amen. Said, preacher, Jesus was a teenager? How many of y'all think he walked around with his pants hanging down? I don't think so. You said they didn't have pants. They had breeches. They had breeches. They had to wear something underneath that. Amen. And I don't think he walked around looking like that. I don't think he walked around looking like the average teenager in the negative sense. But he grew up from an infant to a toddler to an adolescent through the teen years. By the way, we don't find the word teen in the Bible because it wasn't a concept until later on. When you turned 12, guess what you became? An adult. And you became an adult when you turned 12, amen. All right, young man, how many young men are 12? That's you, amen. All right, we expect you to be an adult. 12 are past, but you're not 20 yet, out of your teens yet. All right. All right, you should be a man. Hey, when I leave house, you know what I tell Gregory? Gregory, you're in charge. You're the man of the house. Sir, preacher, he's only 13. And your point is?
Yeah, exactly.
When I leave, I say, you're in charge. You're the man of the house. You protect my wife. You do what's right. You be a good example. You keep the peace.
Amen.
Why? He's followed my example, and I expect him to carry out my example. Jesus was the perfect example. He was born the perfect example from the time of his childhood. But Jesus is also a perfect example for adulthood too, not just a time of childhood. As adults, we still look for examples to follow. All of us will follow someone. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I won't follow anybody. I'm following myself. You have patterned what you're following after somebody. The world didn't start yesterday, and we didn't just reinvent the wheel. You're following somebody that you see in your mind, all of us. So Jesus is the perfect example, not just for the time of childhood, but also adulthood, because we all will follow somebody. And just because we become adults, we shouldn't lose our manners. My mother just called me last night, and she has frequent problems with her computer. And I said, Mom, I thought you were going to call me to ask for to help on your computer. She said, I'm going to call you next week after Christmas. I thought, well, amen. So you didn't call just to tell me you love me. No, I didn't call to tell you that. But I do love you, by the way.
Amen.
And guess what? I still have to give her proper respect. And well, I'm an adult now, and I'm grown up now. And your point is,
yeah.
Jesus is the perfect example for adulthood. Here, this guy's giving his mother some flowers. And happy Mother's Day, Mom. Thanks, sweetie. Now go and wash your hands. They're filthy. Comb your hair. Turn off your lights. Do you think I own an electric company? My mother would still say that if I went home. Close the door, son. Do you pay the bills around here? And I'm glad I don't. Just because we become adults, we don't lose our manners with our parents. Through adulthood, Jesus was still the perfect example with his father. John chapter 8 and verse 29, we read this verse. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. It says, for I do always those things that please him. Strong word there, always. Can we say that we always please our earthly parents? We have always pleased them. Children, can you say you always please your parents? Jesus could say, I always please God. That's a perfect example to follow. There's not a thing that Jesus did that he didn't please God in. He's a perfect example. By the way, what a perfect example Jesus was. Always, whether childhood or adulthood, he pleased his Father. Always those things that please him. He was born the perfect example. Not only was Jesus the perfect example for the time of childhood and the perfect time of adulthood. Jesus was also born a perfect example for all time of temptations. By the way, all of us have been tempted. We all will be tempted for sin and by sin, and some will fall for sin. But Jesus was a perfect example. Guess what? He never, ever, ever fell into sin. He was born the perfect example. Even Jesus was tempted. You say, preacher, I'm tempted all the time. You're not alone. I'm behind, aren't I? Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. By the way, the devil tried to tempt him to sin. He tried to tempt him to fall. And God was testing him to prove that he would not fall, so that you and I could have an example to follow. And so when you look at this, Jesus was the perfect example for all temptations. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus passed every test. He passed every trial. He passed everything that he went through. He was tempted, tested, and passed, and leaves for you and I the perfect example for all temptations. You say, preacher, what type of temptations are there? There's always devilish influence. You're always going to be tempted to do what you ought not do. There's going to be some fleshly desires that you have to do or to act wrong. And then there's always going to be, during this time of the year, some things that we just can't resist that we know is not right. Say, preacher, now you have ruined my dinner. No, I've not ruined your dinner. Jesus was born the perfect example for all temptations. By the way, when Jesus was tempted, he gave us an example by responding to the tempter with the written word of God. The tempter came and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And the tempter may not come like this to you, but he will come and he will tempt you on the desires of your flesh, the desires of your mind, and the desires in your heart. We call it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he will tempt you to that which you like and that which you want to have. Was Jesus hungry after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? Well, ask the question, would you be? I think he was. Was it wrong for him to turn stones into bread? No, but it was wrong for him to do it at his request. What am I saying? You and I will be tempted. Jesus is the perfect example for temptation. Preacher, what did he do? How did he defeat temptation? What example did he leave, left us? Matthew chapter number 4 in your Bibles. You'll find the three areas that Jesus utilized. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 4, in verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what Jesus showed you and I is an example is to use the written word of God. When you and I are tempted, that's the only thing that will fight the devil alongside the Holy Spirit of God is the written word of God. Jesus gave us an example by responding to the tempter with the written word of God. He responded in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then again in verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord God, when he was tempted to jump down off of the pinnacle. Then again in verse number 10, when he said, just fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And when it comes to this type of temptation, verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What am I saying? Jesus gives you and I the perfect example for temptation. Was he tempted? Yes, he was. Did he falter? No, he didn't. Did he resist? Yes, he did. And so Jesus was born the perfect example for all temptations. He was born the perfect example for all time, all temptations, but in all troubles. How many of y'all had some trouble this week? Amen. How many of y'all going to have trouble this week? How many of you going to have trouble next week? All of us are going to have trouble. I don't know about you, but I don't like visits from little Miss Trouble. All of us have had a visit from little Miss Trouble or Mr. Trouble, whichever the case may be. Job said it this way. Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I think some of us have more of trouble than we would like to have. Some of us would like to have the season of giving and give some of our trouble. But in return, you will just get more trouble back. I think Job had it right. But you know what? Even Jesus Christ is a perfect example for all times, all troubles as well. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was about to experience the trouble of the sins of the world being placed upon him. The trauma of the sins of the world being placed on him. The trauma of facing the cross. He who was sinless was going to place the sin of the world on his shoulders. And he was going to die for that. Uh-oh, I went forward, didn't I?
Yeah.
This thing is not cooperative, man. All right. It is trouble. Yeah, speaking of trouble, how about family trouble? Yeah. Have trouble with families lately? How about your finances? Don't have enough during this Christmas time? How about flawed marriages? Troubles with that? How about your friends? Trouble with that? How about when you set out to fix things and you make it worse?
Yeah.
I've been there. Trouble, trouble, trouble. What am I saying? We all know trouble. Whether it's family, whether it's finances, whether it's friends, whether it's fixing things, whether it's flawed marriages, Jesus was born an example for all of our troubles. When it came down to it, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 26:39. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. What trouble was that? That was the sins of the world being placed on him. What am I saying? He was a perfect example for trouble being placed on him. He showed you and I what to do. Go to the Father and pray. And guess what? He says, I really don't want to do this. But you know what he did? He submitted to the Father's will. Verse 42. This cup may not pass away from me except I drink it. Thy will be done. You know, you and I are going to come up to some trouble that we just don't like. Jesus had the right example when the trouble came in Matthew. He said, thy will be done. Let me read the entire verse there. Matthew 26 and verse 39, it says this. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What was that? That was the sin of the world being placed on him, going to the cross. And then he comes back and he asks the disciples to watch and pray. And he said, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he said, the spirit is willing, but this flesh is weak. Then verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He saw trouble and he said, you know what? Thy will be done. What did he do? He agonized. Agonized in prayer. Jesus was born the perfect example for our trouble. He prayed like we should. He submitted to the will of God through his troubles and trials. No one said life was going to be easy. But not only is Jesus a perfect example for all time, all temptations, all trouble, but also all trespasses. You and I are going to trespass. We're going to sin. Bottom line. There's not one of us in here that can say, I will never, ever, ever sin. You will. Some of us sin more than others. Some less. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus was born the perfect example when it came down to our trespasses. When we sin or when someone sins against us, Jesus told us in Matthew 6:14, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Can you imagine going your whole life and never asking someone to forgive you? Can you imagine going your whole life without someone ever coming to you to ask for your forgiveness? But yet and still, that may happen. That may happen. Say, preacher, I would never go my entire life of not forgiving someone or not going to someone asked to be forgiven. If you're prideful, you would. If you're humble, you wouldn't. Matthew 6:14. He's talking about the model prayer here and giving some insight. Matthew 6:14. Jesus says it this way, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." What am I saying? Jesus was the perfect example for trespasses. What have we been guilty of this year that we had to ask someone to forgive us of? Or maybe just this month? Or maybe this week? Or maybe today? You know what some children may have to ask forgiveness for? "Well, I wanted this and you got me that." Come on, come on, children. "I wanted it red and you gave it to me in blue. I wanted a PS3, 4, 5, or 6, and you gave me this. I wanted the latest and the greatest, and you gave me that." You need to ask for forgiveness. That's not a thankful heart. What might we need to ask the Lord to forgive us for this year, this month, this week, or today? C.S. Lewis put it this way. Wait a minute, let me get this one. "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." Another quote says, "Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. We do it for ourselves to get well and move on." Why? Because Jesus said, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So Jesus is the perfect example when it comes to all trespasses. By the way, did we all trespass against him? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. "If ye forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your Father." Think about it. Who have you not asked to forgive you that you know you should? Perhaps before this year is out, you need to go to them. Perhaps before this week is out, you need to go to them. Perhaps you need to call them. Perhaps you need to text them. Maybe you need to give forgiveness to someone who asks of you. I can be forgiving by clearing the record of those who have wronged me and by not holding a grudge. Ask yourself this question. Forgiveness is the only way we can release ourselves from the past, Marianne Williamson said. Is it anger that you had towards someone? Maybe rage, maybe resentment, bitterness, anger, pain, hurt, fury, hatred, grief, injury, revenge, regret, remorse, shame, sorrow, disappointment. I dare say all those were directed towards Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. I dare say after he ascended to heaven and now is back on in glory, he still gets those same accusations towards him. People are angry with him. They're rage against him. They resent Jesus Christ. They're bitter against him. They feel pain. It's all Christ's fault. They hate him. They hurt him. They have fury. They have injured him. They want revenge on him. Regret. The act of forgiveness takes place in our own mind. It really has nothing to do with the other person, Lewis Hayes says. Do you need to forgive someone? It's right here. What if they never come and ask for forgiveness? Can you still forgive them? Yes, you can. Forgiveness is a promise, not a feeling. When you forgive other people, you're making a promise not to use their past sins against them. You know what we like to do? We like to hold it against people. I'll make you pay. I'll make you feel the pain that I felt. I'll punish you for what you've done for me, or to me. What am I saying? Our minds can be a dangerous place if we don't forgive. But you know what I've learned? Because Jesus is the perfect example, when I do forgive, there's a sweetness about it. You know, you can forgive a child, and that child will act like nothing ever happened. You know, when you confess your sins to Jesus Christ, it's like nothing ever happened. Your relationship is restored. It's sweet. But it seems the older we get, the more of a grudge we hold. The more that happens to us in life, the more resentful we become. The more we do, it seems, the more hardened we become. But yet Jesus Christ is still the reason. Feels great when you forgive, but we must realize we were forgiven too. Okay, that slide wasn't there before. Aha, that one. Jesus told us about forgiveness, but he showed us on the cross in Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, preacher, but the person that did that to me, they knew what they were doing. How do you know? I still say this. People that sin, they aren't in their right mind. Say, preacher, what do you mean they're not right? Because we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And if you're in the mind of Christ, you won't sin. And so when someone sins, they're not in their right mind. So obviously they didn't know what they were doing. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they knew not what they do. If anybody has become the perfect example for trespasses and how to handle them, it is Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus told us and showed us the perfect example. In trespasses, when he died on the cross for our sins, and when he was giving his life for us, when he was doing his best, the world was doing their worst. By the way, again, he was born to die. From the cradle to the cross, Jesus was born the perfect example for you and for me. He was born the perfect example for John 3:16. The Bible still says, for God so loved the world. That you and I, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. See, Jesus Christ came to the cradle to go to the cross. He was the ultimate example. He was the perfect example. He was born the perfect example for all times, for all tests, for all troubles, for all temptations, for all trials, for all times, and for all ages. My question to you is, have you been forgiven of your trespasses by God through Jesus Christ? Have you gone to the cross? Because the Bible still says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was born a perfect sacrifice for your sins and my sins. He was a perfect example. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their what? Sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. My Bible still says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Preacher, what am I saved from? Your sin. Where is my sin? In you. Folks, everybody's a sinner by choice and a sinner by nature. No one has to make us sin. But Jesus was the perfect example to save us from our sins. The heart of the Christmas story is that Jesus Christ was born years ago. He was born a perfect example for you. He's born a perfect example for me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. My question to you is, do you have Jesus Christ? Do you have him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you called on him to save you? And friend, may I say, it's more than just an intellectual assent to who he was. It's a heart condition of what he has done and who you are. It's a realization that you are a sinner. I am a sinner. But Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have not received Christ today, may I invite you to receive him today? He is the perfect example. For all time, childhood, or adulthood, all temptations, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, All troubles, no matter what those troubles may be, whether it's family, friends, finances, fixing things. And all trespasses, whether I've sinned against someone or someone has sinned against me, Jesus Christ is the perfect example for everything and everybody. My question is, how does your example measure up to his? He is the example for all. It starts with recognizing that he came for you. It ends with recognizing that he went to the grave, was buried and rose again for you. It starts when you recognize that and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, I don't know who's saved here today. I don't know who's lost here, but I do know this. Jesus Christ is the answer for you, no matter who you are, no matter where you're at. No matter what your troubles are, no matter what your trials are. No matter if you're adulthood or childhood. No matter what temptations you're found yourself in. And no matter what trespasses you've committed, Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. He was born years ago for today. And if you've not received him, I invite you to receive him as your Savior. Say, preacher, how do I do that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Recognize you're a sinner. Recognize your sins will cause you to go to hell. But then realize God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Call on him who can save you. Turn from sin. Turn to the Savior and ask him to be your Lord and your master today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Lord Jesus, thank you so very much that you came to be born a perfect example for all of us. In all times of childhood, all times of adulthood, all temptations that we find ourselves in, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all troubles, family, finances, fixing things, flawed marriages. Lord, whatever it is that we have been trespassed against, you are the example. You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to forgive, and we need to give forgiveness when it's asked of us. And Lord, I don't know who under the sound of my voice needs to be saved, but you do. Speak to that heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl. Help them to realize who they are and what they need. Help them to be saved today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and looking around. How many would be honest to say, preacher, I don't know if I was to die right now that I would go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I would like to be sure that I am a Christian. Pray for me that I can get that thing settled today. That's the gift that I want to give Jesus Christ to get it settled today. All across this room, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Raise your hand. I will pray for you, and you can put your hand right back down. All across the room, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me, preacher? Man, woman, boy, or girl? Anybody at all? Then, Christian, how about you? Do you need to follow Jesus Christ and his example when it comes to all time, whether you're a child or an adult? How about your temptations that you find yourself in? Are you able to go to the Father and pray and get that strength not to fall? What about the troubles that you find in your finances, maybe in your family, maybe in fixing things, maybe in a flawed marriage relationship? Maybe you need to say, Lord, I need a better example. Maybe it's your trespasses. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Or maybe you need to give forgiveness. Maybe that's you. I don't know your heart, but God does. Father, speak to the hearts of the men, women, boys, and girls here. Help them to see what they need to do in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet just for a moment as the invitation plays. I don't know how God is leading, but I do have a Bible, and we've got people standing by that can help you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And he was born a perfect example for you. Why don't you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Maybe you need to come and pray. Or maybe you need to pray for someone else. Maybe you need to say, Lord Jesus, help me to be a better example in the time of childhood. Lord, help me to be a better example in a time of adulthood. I don't know your heart, but God does. Jesus was born a perfect example for all time. All temptations. Lord, I've been tempted. I've been tempted by the lust of the flesh. I've been tempted by the lust of the eyes, what I see. I've been tempted by the desires and the pride of life and what I want. Oh, Lord, help me. You're the perfect example. Help me not to fall into temptation, but to resist it. Maybe troubles. Oh, Lord, I have troubles today. Lord, I need your help. Help me to face my troubles the way you faced them. Praying. Getting on my knees. Seeking guidance. And saying, thy will be done. We can be honest with God and say, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. I don't want these troubles. But we have to be honest with God. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Romans 8:28 is clear. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Maybe all trespasses, Jesus' example is what you need to follow in forgiving someone or giving someone forgiveness that has wronged you or hurt you or crossed you in some way, shape, fashion, form. Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's family. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a stranger, maybe it's someone that you play sports with or athletics with. Maybe it's someone in one of your clubs. Maybe you need to forgive those trespasses. Won't you give it to Jesus? If you're saved, let us come and take a Bible. If you're not saved, let's take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. But maybe if you are saved, you need to surrender for baptism. Maybe you need to come and say, preacher, I've been saved, been scripturally baptized. I need to join this church. Why don't you let one of our deacons talk to you about what it takes to join Shining Light Baptist Church? Maybe before this year closes out, you just need to say, Lord, I want to be a better example in all areas of my life. Lord, help me to be a better example that others can follow my example. Lord, I'm not claiming to be perfect. Jesus, you're the perfect example, but I want to be better at what I do. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better example of as a husband, as a wife. I want to be a better example. As a young person, Lord, I want to be a better example as a young person. As a co-worker, I want to be a better example as a co-worker. As parents, we want to be better examples as parents. With my neighbors, I want to be a better example. Father, thank you for this day. We recognize and lift up the name of Jesus Christ for who he is, what he's brought into this world. Lord, many of us today can claim salvation in Christ. But Lord, I do pray for those that cannot claim Christ as Savior. Would you speak to that heart, that man, woman, boy, or girl? Lord, help them not to leave without getting things settled with Almighty God. Lord, help us to all endeavor to be better examples in every area and every aspect of our life. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. Dismiss us with your blessings. And we'll thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do in Jesus' name. Amen. On behalf of myself and Mrs. Dawson and the Dawson family, wish you all a Merry Christmas. Let me say this as well. Sheila's going to be running out of here to catch a flight to Colorado. And she came by my office with Kelly on Thursday and received Christ as her Savior. She's excited about that. Amen. I asked her, I said, you mind if I tell everybody? She said, I don't mind at all. Amen. I said, just before you whisk back to Colorado. And so we praise God for her getting saved. And she's going to be leaving here, heading to Colorado. And we do pray that she'll have traveling mercies and grace till we see her on the next time. Amen. And so Pastor White's going to come and close us out with the final word. Amen. And then you are dismissed. Don't forget, don't come back tonight. Not that we don't want you, it's that we don't have a service for you. Amen. Amen.
I want to just take the opportunity to enjoy the football game this afternoon, so don't call me. Come back tonight. Pastor and Ms. Dawson and family, y'all hold on just a minute before y'all go out. You know, it's always a great time of the year when I think about Christmas and what it means to me, my family. And December 1986, I got saved. And December is always a special time. But I also think about this time of the year where I'm so thankful that God sent his son, but God also sent a wonderful family in my life. I've been knowing the Dawson family since 1991 and 92. We were over in overseas, and They were stationed in Belgium. We were stationed in Germany. And they used to commute through our area there to go to a bomb holder there. Ms. Dawson used to go to some doctor's appointments. And God has blessed me throughout the years to know them and really appreciate them and the family and his family back in Georgia as well. But at this time, I just want to say thanks to Pastor and his family, all of the wonderful sacrifices, the examples that you are to our church and church family, and just staying with the stuff, preaching the word of God, loving God, and serving him the way that you all do, and we really appreciate you. And this would just be a small token of wanting to show our appreciation to you and your family for what y'all do for us each and every day. And this is a card, has a gift card in it. I'll let you guys have that.
Amen.
And thank you all for what y'all do. Also, I have a gift for the little ones, Miss Faye. It's from Shining Light Baptist Church to you. Gregory, I'll let you be in the middle since you were the oldest. And this is for you.
Yes, sir.
And this
Gregory.
Is for Joshua as well. And we want to say thank you, not for myself, but from the Shining Light Baptist Church and how much we love you guys and appreciate all that you do. And pray that God continue to use y'all here at this church.
Amen.
And we love you and want to say thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for your Also, I always get me a hug at Christmas time. I get the boys to dap. All right. And Miss Faith, I get a hug from a little girl here.
Hey.
All right. Well, thank you all again. Uh-oh. I forget. The camera is still here waiting. So Miss White wants to take a picture.
Here you go.
I always forget those little things, and she reminds me. We come out here more than the center.
What's shining on?
Yeah, let me turn the lights down a little bit lower. No, just kidding.
Let it shine. Just the light
of mine. Let it shine.
I'll be here just as safe. Thank you again.
Good job, Joe.
All right.
Hey, man.
Got evidence. All right. And we do appreciate all that are here visiting. Thank you all for being here today. What a tremendous service it was to be here and think about our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us. Thank you all for visiting. Pray that God bless you out through the holiday season, especially tomorrow as we think about what he's done for us. Let's not forget that Jesus truly is the reason for the season, and we just praise him today for what he's done in our lives, and let's bow for prayer as we close the services out this morning. Again, Father, we thank you so much again for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, Lord, and what you've done for us by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to a cruel cross and die for our sin. God, I pray that you help each person here to just embody that, Lord, with heart, mind, and spirit. And if there be anyone here this morning that's still truly not sure of where that heaven would be their home, I pray they not leave without making a decision for you before it's eternally too late. Pray you bless those that do claim the blood of Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, that we continue to be examples of godly examples throughout this world and in our lives each and every day, that we might draw others to you, because this is what you left us here for. That's what you saved us from. And again, we praise you and thank you for just being, again, the reason for this season. I pray that each one of us would truly take that to heart. Bless now as we leave here today. May we enjoy the afternoon. Lord, enjoy this time of the year. And pray that you bring us back again Wednesday night at the appointed time. And we'll be careful now to just thank you and praise you for all that you've done. How much we're so undeserving. But yet, with your grace and your mercy, Lord, we can stand before you and thank you and praise you for what you do. We love you, praise you, ask this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
And amen.